and it's called The Poor. Okay, we're going to look at the Gospel to the Poor this morning, taking the words from Jesus' lips. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And next week we're going to look at the poor in the house. In Galatians, Paul writes to these precious people who are a bit legalistic. In the church, there's always legalistic people who have locked in something that they need deliverance from, but the word of God delivers us, and it will this morning. And he says, be good to everyone, especially the household of faith. And we're taught in Acts chapter, well, in Acts, again we read how they had all things in common, they shared what they had. Jesus had said, quoting the Old Testament, the poor you'll always have with you. But in the early church, there was no need. All the needs were met. Isn't that fantastic? We'll be looking at that next week. The week after, we're going to get Kath up to share a little bit about what we do in the community. And she does it here, she does it in prison. It's fantastic. At the poor in the community, and how we can expand what we're doing in not only in this town, but perhaps in other towns as well. And then the last week, some of you might be on holiday, but we've heard these things are being recorded. Thank you, Matt. The poor in the world. And we already have our own little program that we do, a Love in Action, through the heading of Julie and Steve, which we appreciate. And so on those two Sundays, we'll have some sharing from Kath, and then following from Julie and Steve to see what's going on in Africa. I don't know about you, but I watch the news sometimes, I get overwhelmed, and for many years it was like that. How can I help? If I give my pound, what's that in such a big ocean, you know? But then I went to Jamaica. I'd love to go there for a holiday. This wasn't a holiday. I went to preach over there, preached in the Bible school and in big churches and small churches. I had a fantastic time. But the thing, my happiest memory, or the thing that God spoke to me when I was out there was this. I stayed with the superintendent of all the churches, the AOG churches in Jamaica. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Over 100 churches. What a huge responsibility. But he spent a full day helping the poor. It blew me away. And each day I thought, I'm going to have to say something to him, because he's more important, you know. He's got a bigger task to do than buying a bunch of bananas. And when I say a bunch of bananas, it was like this big. Buying a bunch and taking it to the poor. And feeding the poor, helping the poor, getting homes for the homes and so on. And it impacted me. And slowly but surely realised I can do something for the poor. I can do something. By the end of the 2 weeks I was there, I was about to tell him off earlier on in the week. And the Lord said, don't tell him off. He's doing what I've told him to do. And I read how Paul took some money to a poor church, to a needy church, remember? And he was an apostle, the chief apostle, and he helped the poor. And so it was so important, it just impressed me. And I just said to him, God's spoken to me this week, through your ministry, not just through you being so hospitable and so on, but your generosity to the poor. And he said, David, I want you to know, you're the first Western pastor who's ever said that to me. They've all said, you're wasting your time, you shouldn't be doing that, you should be busy helping the church, helping the pastors. And he was so encouraged by that. That was good, wasn't it? Well, I said that, that was not in the notes. In fact, my notes are in my briefcase with my laptop, which is, I don't know where, gone. That's where my sermon is. So, thank you, Lord, for the recovery of that. If I need it, but you might be saying all those plans and those ideas I've got from the last 6 years, you just want me to give them back to you, so I'm doing that now. And I'm not the judge's head, Jesus is judge's head, but I know what you meant before. And he's the head of the church, so we give it all back to him, don't we? Somebody said to me recently, you want to make God laugh? show him your plans. So I did. And he did. Blessed are the poor in spirit is what I want to look at for a few minutes this morning, or more than a few minutes, that's an exaggeration. Okay, it is a characteristic of Matthew when he introduces a subject to then expand that subject like a river into a lake. Doesn't he? Have you noticed that? He just begins to share and it gets bigger and bigger. This was probably delivered in the spring of AD 28 after Jesus spent a night in prayer. Every preacher, you must spend time in prayer before you preach, because if you come to church and you're a preacher and you've not spent time in prayer, don't preach, because all we'll be hearing is your words. I want to hear God's word when I come to church. I know Andrew had been in prayer. That's why we got so much from him last week. And we need to be in prayer. This was followed by the choosing. A night in prayer, choosing the 12 disciples. We need to pray for those who are going to be, those we're going to equip and train for leadership in the church. And then this in turn was followed by the healing of many sick. Why have we not seen more sick healed, more miracles and so on? And I read a verse in the scripture that I preached on about 10 years ago, and the Lord just brought it back to me. Wow. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness upon you. Break up the fallow ground. You know, if you've ever done any gardening, it's those hard ground, you know, it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes you get the spade out and you dig. Oh, that was hard work. It's back-breaking work, isn't it? And I think spiritually God wants some back-breaking work in this house today. He wants to break up the fallow ground in our hearts. Because the reason why we're not seeing more people saved and more results, but it is my hard heart, our hearts perhaps as well, if you're feeling the way I feel this morning. God is breaking up the fallow ground. For it's time. What's the time? Yeah, a bit late on this morning, but it's time to seek the Lord. And we've got to seek him. We've got to, tomorrow, could you come and seek him? It's an emergency prayer meeting. We called an emergency prayer meeting when Isabella was injured, and we saw amazing results from that. And I believe tomorrow night we could break a stronghold in this area as we pray over this situation that we're facing. You see, the devil shoots himself in the foot again and again because we've got all that damage. And what happens? Brownhill School comes in and they do a fundraising event for us and raise, was it £400 or £500? James has got into the school there. Isn't that fantastic? And the message people have gotten into the school. It's wonderful. So if you can make it tomorrow night, what God really wants to do in this area may be done if we break up the fallow ground. Why? Because it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness upon you. So cancel your program for tomorrow night if you can. And just 1 hour, because 1 hour can be the hour that changes the world. It can change this world. It can change something in us. It might not be them that need the prayer. It might be us that need the prayer. What did my mother used to sing over me? It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And until, pray until, seek my face until. And you see, I have to ask for forgiveness because I pray and I seek God, but it's not always until. I give up too soon. I give up before it starts raining. I give up because in my own strength I feel that I've done enough now, and it's time to hand the baton to someone else for somebody else to pray. And the Lord has convicted me. It's not. It's time for me until it comes to rain. And what's he going to do? He's going to rain something good on us. Hallelujah. Righteousness upon his church. Because we're not really the on fire for God church we should be in this land. Although God is moving and the church is growing in this land. I was able to speak to the PA of the CEO of the prison service. How God is moving in the land. And you know what she told me? I've been to Hillsong 2 years ago. I went twice. I said, what did you think? wow, it's church in a different way, isn't it? I wasn't brought up in a church like that. I said, well, I believe that you need to go back. Who am I to say this to these VIP? I said, I believe you need to get back there. You need to go to the house of God. You need to listen. Because it's not about going to church. It's about being part of the family of God and networking with God's family, because we can do more with God's family together in unity, as we heard last week, than in our own separate ways. Until he comes to rain righteousness upon us. I'm looking for a good soak. I'm looking for an outpouring of God. I believe, I used to sing at youth camp, it's beginning to rain, hear the voice of the Father. And I can still hear the voice of the Father. It spits and spots at the moment, friends, but it's beginning to rain. And if we will pray and seek God until, then we will see the harvest spring up as it rains again. Wow, that wasn't in my sermon. But on a mountain, Jesus was, on a mountainside in the vicinity of Capernaum, about 4 miles from the Sea of Galilee. Some of us have been there. It's a beautiful place. And if you fancy going, I've been asked for five different people. Am I taking a tour next year to Israel? And if there's some more wanting to come, I will certainly do that. When I spoke on this last year, towards the end of last year on Sunday evenings, I talk about the Beatitudes being the manifesto of Jesus. A manifesto, the meaning is public declaration of policy by a sovereign state or body of individuals. Yeah, the Beatitudes are a declaration, friends, by King Jesus to his subjects on the lifestyle to be lived by his disciples. I want you to know God has a lifestyle he wants you to live outside of Sunday, as well as Sunday, outside and in the rest of the week, that is different to the way the world lives their lives. It's totally different. You are different to the world, and it needs to be seen. It's a supernatural lifestyle. It can only be lived by the Christian. Only a Christian has been born again. And this is not a formula to become a Christian, this chapter, these 12 verses. It's because you're a Christian, this is what you've got to do. This is the lifestyle I've chosen for you, Jesus is telling us. And I think it's a great kind of lifestyle. This is not a formula to become a Christian, it's the result of being one. And only a Christian, get this, only the Christian has the Holy Spirit. This morning, you have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. Isn't that good news? So you're not on your own to live this kind of life that is very difficult to live, very hard to live. It's not an easy road, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And these qualities cannot be produced naturally. Have you ever tried loving somebody you can't stand? You see, you don't have to work it up and become a nice person. You don't even have to be nice, you just have to love them. You don't have to like them, you have to love them. And how do you do that? With the Spirit within you. And some of you more miserable people, you need the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Let's rejoice in the house of the Lord. It's great. We've been led in songs of joy this morning, haven't we? We are a joyful people. We're different to the world because our joy isn't based on circumstance and so on. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my heroes, one of the best Bible teachers, well, the best Bible teacher I've ever heard. He said this, he came, that's Jesus, he came, lived and died and rose again and sent the Holy Spirit in order that we might live the Sermon on the Mount. Have you got it? These three chapters are so important. These 12 verses are vital for us to get a hold of. So only a Christian has the faith of God. Only a Christian can have this lifestyle that pleases God, because what I did in my flesh before I was saved didn't please God. But now I'm in a position where I can please my God and my Saviour. You can please him as well. Isn't that great? This lifestyle blesses not only God, but it blesses us. And also this lifestyle overcomes the world. Will you be an overcomer? Someone said, attitude of heart. Worldliness is an attitude of heart reflecting the lifestyle that rejects and is totally opposed to God's laws and principles. You see, It's a protective lifestyle, but it's also a contrasting lifestyle that we read about. It's light in a dark world, isn't it? It's salt in a corrupt world. You are the salt of the world. Has anybody ever told you that? Yeah. That's an honour. There's nothing like that out there. This is what God's given you. And you're an ambassador of godliness. Hallelujah. Ambassadors in a godless world. Would you like to be an ambassador of a king? It's a great privilege. An ambassador of a president or a prime minister. We, friends, are ambassadors of righteousness. Because as he pours his rain of righteousness upon us, we reflect him, we sparkle, we glisten with the rain of heaven on our lives. And people notice. You might not notice, and that's a good thing, because we might get a bit, it might go to our head, but not to us, but to you, O Lord, must glory be given, because of your constant love, because of your faithfulness, the psalmist says. And so, each beatitude, we are told, has three parts. One part, the first part, blessed, is an ascription of blessedness. The second part is a description of the person to whom this ascription applies. And the third is a statement for the reason of this blessedness. The first beatitude is a big subject, folks. There's something on the internet called Questions and Answers Sermon on the Mount. Be careful what you get from Google and what you get on the internet. Yes. If you're in doubt, ask a priest. No, don't ask a priest. If you're in doubt, ask your pastor, ask your elder, ask those who have a great knowledge. We've got theologians here who know more about the Bible than I do. So please, let's share together. These are the attitudes of the heart. That's what beatitudes are. These are the attitudes God wants us to have. And they make us happy and please God. What does the word blessed mean? Well, it is a deeper inner sense of well-being, regardless of what's happening around us and to us. Jody, through storms and trials, has remained faithful. The boat might have been rocked, but she wasn't rocked off the boat. She didn't fall in. Isn't that great? And we know Apple will follow suit, and others are following suit in the ministries that you're doing. It means to be happy, fortunate. Actually, it also means to be well off. It speaks of being happy in a way not dependent on circumstances, to be favoured by God. You see, the world thinks happiness is getting their own way and having lots of nice things. When we went to this really posh hotel, there was really posh cars outside. I borrowed the company car, Her Majesty's car. An old Banger 58 VW, tell you. But it was good, it worked, no air conditioning. Anyway, that's beside the point. The world thinks that the people who are happy are the rich, the famous, those who have just won the lottery, the successful people, the powerful people, confident, self-sufficient and proud. And I looked around at the permanent secretary and the not so permanent secretary, was it the undersecretary or something, and the Minister of Justice, and, wow, these guys, you could be sort of overcome by them, but you know what, I'm an ambassador of Jesus in that place. I have as much right to be there as them, because the King has allowed me to be with them, to speak to them about kingdom matters and kingdom things. You see, the psalmist says, I read a psalm this morning, it was all about, whoa, why do the wicked flourish? Why do they prosper? Why do they, nothing go wrong for them, even to the day they die? Well, actually, they die. And they don't take it with them. It's like a dream. And they wake up in eternity and it's all gone. It's all gone. I said this once before and somebody came to me, what did they mean by it? Shroud. There are no pockets in shrouds. I don't know what it means, but I just said it seems right. What the Bible says is, we came into this world, we know, and we go out, we know, if you're from Yorkshire. And I tell you, God wants to move in this place. The world is crazy. It thinks the world standards. You see, by the world standards, Solomon should have been the happiest man on the planet, isn't that right? He's the richest man who ever lived. And yet, his response to all he had was, anybody remember? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You knew? The happiness that can fill the void in every soul can't be manufactured by the world. You can't work it up or stir it up. Physical things don't meet spiritual needs. There's a God-shaped vacuum, Billy Graham used to say, in every heart, and only Jesus can fill it. Yeah. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus emphasized that people will never find happiness through this world's values. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The world says the exact opposite. They say, blessed are the rich. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. The reason, you know, what people look and what they have looks so enviable. I mean, I saw some nice Porsches, I saw some nice Bentleys, and very nice. And I was in a VW. But it's okay, VWs are good. We don't need to envy the world. God never made a soul, Hendrickson said, so small that the whole world will satisfy it. Can I say that again? God never made a soul so small that the whole world would satisfy it. But the inner state and the character of the soul abides. Listen to God's word. Don't try the things of the world. They will not do you any good if you stay in them. We've got to be in the world, but not of it. Jesus does not pronounce these people blessed because they are poor in material goods. Okay? Though for the most part, they were that also. They're called blessed as being poor in spirit, not in spirituality. There's a difference. But with respect to their spirit, they are the ones who have become convinced of their spiritual poverty. Somehow they've been made conscious of their own spiritual emptiness and poverty, that they cannot do any good, they can't, I don't know, somehow impress God with their good works, or they become very aware, and they are people where the old pride has been broken. They've begun to cry out with a man many years ago who said, God be merciful to me. A sinner. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Last week we had a fabulous time as we baptized 5 new people into our church, and not into our church, but they were already in the church, but into the blessing of God in obedience. Sean's going to come. Give Sean a round of applause. He shared his testimony, and most of you were not with us, and I thought it'd be good. So he's just going to share for a couple of minutes what God has done in his life. Thank you, Sean.
Yo. This guy, right, he pulled me up this morning and said, right, you're speaking for me. I've no clue what I'm going to say. Thanks for that. But some people say, you know, pray and you'll get away. Do you know what I mean? And something will come to your mind. So I just sat there at the back praying, and I was thinking, what do I say? You know, my story, yeah, it's a story. But someone says it takes a lifetime to build yourself up, get everything that you need, but it takes 7 seconds to lose everything. You know what I mean? That 7 seconds, that's your choice, your life, you know. 7 seconds, yeah, I've done that. I've tried to kill myself, you know what I mean? I'm not ashamed of that. I was ripped up in drugs, and I was ripped up in alcohol, and I was homeless, but 7 seconds, I lost everything. And that 7 seconds was that first pickup of drugs that I did. And I know that in my head, you know. Friday, I'll tell you something, Friday morning, I got paid. I'm now working. Yay! I'll come on to that in a minute, but the first time ever, right, in 3 months of me stopped drinking and stopped taking drugs, I had a temptation. You know, he had money in my bank, he had a decent amount of money, and he had a temptation that was there. And I went to the, sit down, lad. I was in the shop, you know, this happened, I was in the shop. And that temptation, I looked on the wall, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, look at that bottle of vodka right there, man. I want some of that. And in my head, I was there, I'm going to pay for that bottle of vodka now. And this little kid, right, it was his mum, right, was looking. And he wanted to buy 2 colouring books, right? And I said, And a voice came to me, buy them, Sean. Buy them books, you know. You've got money. These guys are, you know, are less off than you. So I bought them. I actually bought them four books, four colouring books and a pack of crayons instead of buying that booze. Do you know what I mean? That's the choice I made in my life. You know, I thought I'd have a look at the Bible to see what I could say, you know, see what I could think up. And, you know, depression is massive. Depression is massive. It is out there that one in 15 people will attempt to kill themselves at some point in their life. There's a lot of people in here, yeah? And there's more than 15 people. One in 15 will make that attempt. You know, is it, you know, that is the statistics out there. So there's the part of the Bible, Peter chapter 5, 7. So be content of who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you and he'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He's the most careful with you. Is she named Jordan? Yes, you were speaking at the beginning and, you know, offer something. Offer, you know, there's people in here who are having it hard. Offer something. You know, I spent 3 months with no money. No money coming in. No nothing. You know what? I got food. How? Because God will provide. There's a God's way and he will provide. You know, part of my job, I work for the Message. You know, it's coming up Message Sunday. I hope we're going to come in here. There's a few of us that want to come and speak. Phil's looking at me now. Me and Phil want to come and speak for Message Sunday or in October. But offer something. Speak to somebody. You know what I mean? This church, God bless you, right? You give me 6 kilograms of soup. Love it. You know what I mean? That one day, I'm still eating it. 6 kilograms of soup, but that fed me. Do you know what I mean? And the 40 days of study that, you know, the 40 days of what that we did in the Bible, you know, me and Dave, we spoke, you know, quite deep, you know, people just want to have a chat. You know, I'm going through naff stuff in my own head daily, and I bet a few people here are going through that stuff. Shake someone's hand or just say, how are you doing, mate? You know what I mean? Because that will change someone's perspective in life. And something came to me, you know, when this little lad up here was doing the notices, offer something. Hey, I'm training to be a chef, so if you need someone to cook food on Sunday, I'll do it for you, man. You know what I mean? Because that is what I'm doing in my life, you know. I'll offer that. Just turn the mic off. You know what I mean? I will do. That came to me when I was sat at the back. Offer something. Wait, I'm training to be a chef and they're not having any food. I know, I'll offer that. You know what I mean? So it is true, just offer an handshake, a cuddle, or just a chat. Or even a coffee, someone said to me once. Just offer somebody a coffee and how are you doing, man? But I'm here and I'm surviving. Oh, and June gave me a card. God bless her. And I wanted to read what she wrote in this, you know, because, you know, she couldn't make it, I don't think, on Sunday. So she gave me a card by Jack today and she wrote, may God's blessings surround you each day as you trust him and walk in his way. May his presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go peace, go in joy, and go in love. And that's what we all should do. Go in peace, go in joy, and go in love.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, it says in Isaiah 66, verse 2, and this is to the church, to the church of the Old Testament, to us today. These are the ones These are the ones I look on with favour. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit. That means repentant. In humility, realising that spiritually I am empty, poor, helpless, lost, and can do nothing on my own. Without divine assistance, I have no resources that will get me into heaven or to do what God wants me to do. I am spiritually incapable and therefore totally dependent on God's grace. That was a commentary on that. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Hates it. Makes him so upset. Wow. Time has gone. But yours, if you're poor in spirit, yours is the right. Now, right now, is the kingdom of heaven. A complete salvation. People are waiting until they get to heaven, you know, when they die, and they'll go to heaven. And we think of it then, not now. Theirs alone, right now, is the kingdom of heaven. See, that is complete salvation. The sum total of blessings, as Hendrickson says, that result when God is acknowledged as king over heart and life. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is theirs even now in principle, he says. Therefore, they are pronounced blessed. Isn't that great? So you're blessed. The kingdom of heaven. Pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth, in my life, in Hebron, as it is in heaven. Let's pray that we will be a reflection to the world, an echo of what God is saying in heaven. That we'll be an echo, and that he will be wonderfully glorified. Complete salvation. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Have you realized who you are this morning? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And God blesses us materially as well, doesn't he? You're all wearing clothes, you've all been sheltered. Some of you are going to have some food. The rest of you are most probably fasting. That's why you're not coming to the cafe. I don't know. Oh, friends, we are blessed. Very blessed. So, didn't Mark refer to Jesus' words? He refers to the words, and Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. Even rich men can be saved. Even ministers of justice can be saved. CEOs of prison services, you also can be saved. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'd love to talk about two churches in Revelation to close with. You see, a risen and exalted church visitor came to church one day. He's most probably here today. He's called Jesus. Jesus Christ. He addresses the lukewarm church at Laodicea as follows. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. This is to his church. For you say, I am rich and have become richer right along and have need of nothing whatever. But you do not know that you are the one who is wretched and pitiable and poor or beggarly and blind and naked. But he gladdens the church of Smyrna by saying, I know your tribulation or affliction and poverty, but you are rich. Some of the richest people in the world, friends, are the poorest, material. How can the poor be called rich? The answer is found in such meaningful passages that Jacob met Esau. He said, I have everything. I have everything. Can you say that? Let's say it together. I have everything. Because God had dealt with Jacob and he'd come to that place where he had everything. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
It's there, isn't it? It's there. We are rich, friends, far richer than we could ever realize. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So even losing your briefcase with your laptop and your sermon in it can work together for good. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Band would like to come up. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. We thank you for the truth that inspires us. Thank you for the joy that fills us. And I pray that each one of us today would receive your word into our hearts. Through this weak and frail vessel, but thank you that your word is more powerful than the vessel. Let the message come alive in each heart right now. Those who are not saved, may they be saved. Those who are saved, may they be on fire for you. Those who are on fire for you, may they be refreshed and encouraged.